Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul. Justin Baker is my co-host. Say hello to the wonderful fans of Overtime Hockey Talk.
Hello, wonderful fans.
Yes. Lots to talk about today. Tons of streaks and Hall of Fame players. And, of course, Louis Erickson returning for the Vancouver Canucks to complete the $20 million fourth line with Henrik and Daniel Sedin.
That just cracks me up.
Huge, huge news out of Vancouver with him coming back.
Isn't he in the last year of his deal, too?
No, God, no. He is.
He's not.
I mean, I think he might have 4 or 5 years left in his deal.
I honestly can't remember.
At six something a year. But that's fine. That's about when his deal ends, that's probably when Vancouver will be competitive again.
It's funny. I was really high on this guy when he came out of Boston and he was signing with Vancouver. I'm like, dude, I like this guy's compete level. He's got good two-way game, but
he was on everyone's most underrated player in the league list.
I was right there with you.
What does that even mean? Like, who do you think is underrated right now? Is underrated just mean you play on the West Coast so nobody watches you?
That's usually the way it works out, right?
Like, Joe Thornton, is he underrated because no one, like, he's the greatest assist man of this generation.
Right. It's like saying Mark Scheifele is underrated.
Yeah, he's, I suppose. But
well,
I would put
him in my top five centers.
He's unreal. Yeah.
He's good.
Anybody that watches hockey knows Mark Scheifele's good. Is it just that a lot of people that say that they watch hockey don't actually watch hockey? They just watch their team and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's... Yeah.
Go watch other teams. It's so easy.
It's so easy when you got that doubleheader on Wednesday night on NBC or NHL on NBC, and
you can just
watch that West Coast.
Stream stuff online for free ever.
Yeah, like a normal person, but...
I mean, no, we pay for that.
Yes.
We pay a lot.
We don't do anything illegal here.
No, it's not illegal to stream. It's only illegal for them to put the stream out. It's not illegal for you to scoop it up.
Well, I mean, that's...
That's why it's beautiful.
Maybe
it's morally illegal,
I guess.
It's more illegal?
Morally?
Morally.
Yes.
No, it's not. I don't think it's morally. I don't... Because to me, that would say that you are deciding on your own that you feel convicted about something. And if you do, then that's fine. I never feel convicted
about watching hockey. So
no, me neither. Especially when it's free. I feel really great about it. I mean, I go to my parents' house and I watch games at their house with their cable. I didn't pay for their cable. Is that illegal? Am I in big trouble?
That's a good point.
I have a party at my parents' house. Do I need to pay extra, let all those people watch it? It's insane. Like,
that's a debate.
All the rules for that stuff is dumb.
Ridiculous.
Like, anybody who thinks that, oh, yeah, like, remember when the Super Bowl was having the, like, well, if you want to have a Super Bowl party, even for, like, a youth group at a church, they were saying, nope, you can't have a Super Bowl party.
Wait. When was this?
Remember that?
No,
yeah, they had stuff where they were literally shutting down Super Bowl parties for a youth group.
That's ridiculous.
Because the youth group was charging, you know, like $5 for whatever, like,
right, to pay for pop and
sure
pizza,
and pizza
yeah.
and all that, and they were because they were profiting off the name.
Stop it!
They were coming after them. That's asinine.
The NFL
stopped doing that because I think they decided that didn't look very good because it didn't.
Yeah.
Anyways,
of all things the NFL does.
yes. So what's the first thing that let's talk about something.
Let's talk about
it's hockey. Now I'm all frazzled.
Oh my goodness. No.
The Rangers are rolling.
The Rangers, they're getting good goaltending.
8-2 in their last 10.
8-2 is it? Wow. Yeah, they're getting good goaltending. The defense is actually playing somewhat respectable. So, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know if they can play 8-2 for their next 10 games again.
No,
but
certainly not.
I mean, I still think they need to figure out what to do with Rick Nash, whether they're going to trade him or, you know, whether or not they go and try to move a defenseman to get another forward in there. But
so the Rangers right now are sitting basically right on the outside of the playoff picture.
Okay.
And I think that that's about where they end up at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think
A big change from when they were basically last place in the East.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're last place in the East, but I also don't think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree with you because I mean, even when we were doing our preseason rankings and stuff like that, I still had Columbus, Washington, and Pittsburgh at the top of that division anyway. So they were sitting right there on a bubble team, in my opinion, anyways. And this does not seem to be any different from where they are now. So, I mean, there you go, New York. Not disappointing me.
So New York and then Montreal also on a little 7-3 streak here.
Yeah, that one's kind of surprising. They're scoring some goals right now.
Yep. Yeah, they and you wonder, is this the team finally maybe buying into Claude Julien? Is it Carey Price is out and it's kind of sparked something in their team to start scoring because they didn't necessarily know what they had on their back end?
Yeah, and now Al Montoya is out. Not that he's been playing great this year or anything. I think he's only played 3 games with like a 3.7 goals against. But
did the Vegas Knights infect them with whatever they had?
Right. Yeah, let's go to our 5th string goaltender and get some good Ws.
Yes.
Yeah, Legacy, though, playing pretty good in Vegas, I got to actually say. He made an unreal save the other day. I wish I could remember who it was against.
Is it against Winnipeg?
I think it was. Yeah.
Well, how about if we're talking unreal saves, we have to talk about Bobrovsky.
Oh, my goodness.
On that 2-on-0 kick save. Just that.
I couldn't wait for the video replay to get up on Twitter before I reposted that because I just was, I lost it. I threw my lunch that I was making for work the next day at the wall. I said, get out of here. How do you make that save with the heel of your skate?
That was the game right there.
That really was so good.
And yeah. Detroit could have used that win, but.
Yeah, but I mean, I got to be honest with you, as you know how that game ended, 2-1 in the shootout, they still looked pretty good for most of that game. So kudos to the Wings for playing really good against a team that probably should have walked over them pretty easily.
And I think what you're seeing too is, and we questioned this early on, does Jeff Blashill have control of the room? Are players buying into what he's selling? And I think that what we're learning is that, well, we know that their level of talent is minimal. I think that players at least do what the coach asks them to do. They're playing with a different compete level this year than they were last year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any pressure to keep the streak, quote unquote, still going.
Well, there's certainly no streak.
Right.
Bye bye streak.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think the defense is actually looking respectable and not like bottom 2-3 defensemen pairings in the league that I figured that they were going to walk into the season with. And I mean, Mike Green's still playing phenomenal. But if you compare like guys like Jonathan Erickson at the beginning of the year and what they were doing last year, they're playing a lot better than I expected.
Is Mike Green a UFA at the end of this year?
He is, yeah. I still think the Wings move him at the end of the season.
Certainly.
Because he's not re-signing with them. He doesn't want to go through a rebuild at this point in his career. And
right, why would you?
Yeah, and if you get a
chance. He went there because it was one of those, okay, we know that you're decent and we need a defenseman, so this works. But you knew that he was going there to kind of rebuild his reputation as a top 4 defenseman. And I think he has.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That he'd be a solid number 4 power play specialist defenseman on a good team.
Yeah, and let's be honest too, he's playing at a very high level right now. He still looks like he did when he, you know, a few years ago when he put up 30 goals. Not that he's going to hit 30 goals again, but the guy still has legs. He still has the ability to move the puck. He's, like you said, power play specialist. And for teams that are going to be making the playoffs, and I'm still think the Wings have a minute shot at getting in, but I still don't see them getting in. He could warrant a nice first-round draft pick to the right team who needs a top 4
first-round pick, I don't know about that. There's been worse players that have been moved for less than
a right-handed D-man. He could, I mean, a team like, oh, I don't know.
I'm thinking like a team like Toronto, who obviously needs defense. I could not see them trading a first-round pick for Mike Green. Now, I guess a team that is right there and they think they could win the Cup this year. Like I wouldn't look at the Leafs and say they're going to win the Cup this year. I think that they could certainly have everything go right for them. Like a lot of teams, there's probably 20 teams in the league where if everything went right for them, they could win the Cup. But that's probably not going to happen. Speaking of the Leafs, man, you've got, a 6-1 start, and then they're 8-7, and then now they've suddenly, they're 12-7, or maybe they were, I think they've won 4 in a row right now. So however that all worked out, but now they're 12-7, and 3 of those wins without Austin Matthews. They beat Boston twice in a home-and-home, and things are looking pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, let's be
honest. Even their backup goalie made 38 saves against the Bruins to win 4-1.
Yeah. I mean, the thing they got going for them is they can score some goals. They played one more game than Tampa, who we know can score some goals, and they've scored one more goal than Tampa so far in this year. So
they're
pretty good.
Basically right with Tampa.
Yeah. And minus Auston Matthews the last three games, too.
Right. And minus Tampa's defense
is much better.
That's what makes Tampa so much better than pretty much everybody in the league at this point.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's talk Tampa for a minute. Tampa Bay they've lost twice in regulation. They're 14-2-2. They're just destroying their opponents. I mean, they have a goal differential plus 25. So things are going well for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Very well.
Now, does the Lightning, have they caught Lightning too quick?
Lightning in a bottle, dare you
lightning
say?
Lightning in a bottle. Sometimes you see teams dominating for like a 3-4 month span. It's very rare that this lasts over the course of 82 games into the playoffs and a team just keeps on rolling over opponents like they are.
I don't think necessarily that the rolling over opponents thing is going to last, but they'll still stay at the top of that division. They'll still keep winning games. They just might not score as many goals. I mean, goodness gracious, I think Kucherov is on pace to put up an unprecedented amount of goals here, like 50 or 60 at this rate.
Yeah, I think he has 14 goals in 16 games,
16 goals right now.
16 goals.
Yeah,
okay. 16 goals in 18 games. So, so he'd be on pace for about 65 goals.
Right.
A little bit more than that, actually. So, yeah, I mean, he's not going to get 60.
No.
It's so hard to get 60, especially this is that time of year where players score at a higher clip. And then after like 30 games, that's when teams really buckle down and you start to play a little bit tighter defense.
Right. And I think once you start seeing them separate themselves from the rest of that Atlantic division, mostly the only team I really think they have to worry about is Toronto catching fire and catching up to them. But once they separate themselves a little bit, you think, I honestly think they'll back off a little bit. They'll play a little bit easier and not try to put up 6 goals a game. And then you might see them cool off a little bit. But I still think they're going to stay high. I don't see any reason why not. The goaltending's great. I mean, Stamkos and Kucherov are unreal. I don't know if there's a better dynamic duel.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you hope no injuries happen.
Right, that's the one thing, too. Again, you get Stamkos or Kucherov go down, that team, the team will still be good, but they're not going to roll over people.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I was reading something that said last year at this time in the season, there was 8 players averaging a point per game. And this year there's 24 or something like that.
Is it really that much?
A huge amount of guys are averaging more than a point per game. More, I know it was more than double from the year before.
I'm going to look that up.
I just think that's the league it's exactly what the league wants, but this needs to continue. I think that goal scoring is definitely the amount of goals. We're up by, I think, a quarter of a goal per team per game. So we're about a half a goal a game up from last year, which is great. And it would be the most goals scored in a season if we continue on this pace since 2005-06. And I think that it's exciting. It's fun. People are scoring 5-on-5, and it's because they're not getting slashed in their hands, so the puck isn't squirting off their stick, and they're able to actually do some more exciting things. It's very entertaining, but I will tell you this. Goalies' equipment still needs to shrink.
I agree.
Massive.
Yeah,
they're
the chest protectors
humongous.
Need to go down. Pants need to go down.
The pants, I think they're about to be changed.
I think it's January they're rolling them out, if I'm not mistaken.
So then are we going to see goal scoring go up a little more because of the – I mean, you know, you're talking a half an inch here and there, but
– I don't think so with the pants per se, but I think one thing that does need to change, and hopefully they'll make this adjustment next year, is with the if you know anything about goalie pads, they always have like – they measure from your basically middle of your thigh to your knee to your ankle – and it's always like 34 inches, 35 inches is pretty much the average. But then there's always that plus one, plus two on goalie pads. I think they need to get rid of that. Shrink that down.
obviously, what's their reasoning for wanting to, for having that? Is like, it's, you have for the extra butterfly long style, legs.
So when you, well, no, it's because the butterfly, when you go down on your knees, you cover that, that gaping hole between your knees because you can't get your knees perfectly square together all the time.
But if you didn't have that, would it, would the puck hit your knees?
No, no. The, you're, the way your pad is measured, your knees will still be covered, but you still have this extra like 4 inches above your kneecap, which is there. And I think if they shrink that down a couple inches on each side, you'll notice some more significant goals going five
going, hole. Going five hole on the butterfly.
Yes, absolutely. Those okay. Goalies will still be protected. Pants, pads will still cover up and keep goalies safe, but you're going to see an increased goal, I mean, going five hole.
Yeah. Our, yeah, the definitely the chest protector, that's very, I haven't heard anybody talk about that, yeah. But that's a very interesting
idea. Even I think the chest protector I wear, I've measured it out a couple times before I bought my current one just to make sure, because I thought it was a little bit too big. It's too big. On my, I mean, my shoulders, they have this pad that just comes up and off the top of my shoulders, off my chest bone, which comes up like just a couple inches. And just even that, you can cut that down. I've seen them where they make them. They're starting to make them now where they just basically roll over the shoulder instead of like come off and almost look like a plate that's sticking straight up and then going over the top.
And that's, yeah, and they're not necessarily, they're not making that for safety. They're making it because it gives you that extra little bit of space above your shoulder.
A little flexibility so you can move your shoulder and move your arm, you know.
Which, like, I'm all for, you know, if there's something there that's helping a goalie move and be athletic, I'm all for that. Let's figure out a way to get goalie equipment to where goalies can be, need to be more athletic and less just gigantic. I always wondered as a kid, I said, why don't they just get a sumo wrestler and just stick them in there? Like, but for real, is that basically what we have for all intents and purposes?
I mean, after you put
some
the gear
guys,
on.
When you put that gear on, I always wondered why they didn't just find a large person and slap goalie equipment on them.
I'll tell you what, if you want to see a perfect example of the goalies being a sumo wrestler, go take a look at Ryan Miller without his goalie pads on and with his goalie pads on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dominik Hasek his equipment was at least reasonable.
Right.
And he was just unreal. If you, like...
It wouldn't matter what equipment you put on him.
If you're, like, a younger and you never really watched Dominik Hasek, just, like, go back and watch highlights specifically from... like 1998, 1999, he was unstoppable. You can go and you can watch Tim Thomas stuff, and he's pretty close, but he only did it for a really short amount of time, and he did it for a really good team. Dominik Hasek was on a meh team, and he took him to the freaking Stanley Cup Finals. he's maybe the, yeah, I mean, we've done a goalie ranking. He may be the greatest goalie of all time. Because he was not only athletic, he knew the position so well and basically had his own style. And did anyone coach him?
No.
Was anybody coaching that guy?
So.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, what other teams have caught your interest here this last week?
Well, I'm interested to see when that bubble burst for the New Jersey Devils. Like, they're still playing good. I figured, you know, hey, 10, 15 games, yeah, they can get away with that, but teams are going to start to figure them out. And I don't know if anybody's really figured them out yet.
I mean, they can score.
Yeah.
I tend to think that if a team does really well and they don't score a lot, but they're winning these really tight games, I think those are the teams that you look at and you go, I'm not really too sure about this team. But the Devils aren't winning a whole lot of just one-goal games. They're winning... I mean, they beat the Blackhawks 7-5. That game was insane. It was 6-5 at the end of the second period.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they can score. They're getting at least average goaltending.
Right.
From,
I think like a 908 from Corey Schneider or something right now.
So they're getting decent enough goaltending, and the way their style has just completely changed. They're fun to watch.
They are. Yeah, they're fun absolutely. To watch. And speaking of, that's another thing, too. Not to just totally drastically try and change the subjects, but like I read an article the other day, and they were talking about potential coaches that could be on the hot seat or might be moved soon enough, you know. And, you know, my guy, Jeff Blashill, was still on the list a little further down than he was, you know, a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
But Joe Quenneville's name is popping up now a little bit more. And after watching that game, I'm like, has he really lost that team? Or... because Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, they're not scoring goals like they used to anymore. And they're paying them $10.5 million to do it.
They're paying Quinville's the second highest paid coach in the NHL.
He's getting like $7 million.
I think behind, just behind Babcock. Yeah. They're not going to fire him. I'll tell you that.
Well,
I don't see it happening. They're,
I don't know. I kind of feel like they might change coaches because, I mean, at this point, what, they're sitting in fifth in that division. They're not completely out of it because a couple wins, and now they're back up to number two behind St. Louis. But
Exactly. They'll be fine.
But that's the thing. Can they rebound? Can they get it back? You know, Brandon Saad has looked like...
But could they miss the playoffs? And yes,
he
still won't get fired.
Oh, I think if they miss playoffs, he'll get fired.
I don't think that you don't go, okay, I mean, they have had two first-round exits the last 2 years, and then you go and you miss the playoffs. Would he get fired? No, I don't think he would. I think that he'd have one more season. You don't fire a guy who across the league is a top three coach in the NHL. I don't think you fire him. I think you...
Yeah, but sometimes you just need, like, fresh blood in there. You need just...
Sure,
a
but
new attitude. I mean,
it's really hard to just go, okay, you know what? You don't need to work anymore. We'll just pay you $7 million for the next 3 years.
Yeah, but look at Daryl Sutter though in LA. He was regarded as, you know, one of the top coaches in the league.
Yeah, but it was very adamant that he didn't want to change their style.
Well, right. I completely understand.
And Quinville almost has been a part of the speed game style.
Sure. Absolutely, but
maybe a hybrid between like an LA and a Pittsburgh, the way they played. But
okay.
I don't think that it's his style that is holding them back.
I don't think it's anything really to do with him in particular and his coaching abilities that's really hurting the team. I just think sometimes when you just almost stall out like they have in the first round the last couple seasons and how they're not even really playing at such a high tempo anymore right now, they're not really scoring goals on like they used to. I just think sometimes bringing in fresh blood just makes all the difference. I mean, you look at what Mike Yeo did last year with St. Louis when they brought him in, just kind of revitalized them a little bit. And, you know, I mean, LA was a little bit different because from what I hear, he sort of, you know, Sutter sort of lost the room and the players just stopped respecting him at some point.
Well, I don't know if it was respect thing so much as it was, we can't play this style anymore. It does not work.
Right.
I mean, they think about how long. I mean, last time LA won was 2014, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So they won 2014. They missed the playoffs in 2015, 16, and 17.
Right. And one of those years, though, I mean, obviously you chalk it up to losing Jonathan Quick.
Right.
Same as, you know, Montreal did when they lost Price for that season. But
you missed the playoffs three times in a row, and your difficulty has always been scoring goals, despite the fact that they were always high up in the league in possession numbers, and they had all the quote advanced statistics,
but everybody knew they weren't scoring goals,
and you looked at a guy like Gabrick and Dustin Brown, and you had all these huge giant contracts.
Right.
To me, it was more on the GM at the time, like it was Lombardi.
Right,
he signed a lot of third and fourth line players to monster deals to keep the crew together, even though he should have let them go.
Oh, absolutely should have.
So he gets fired. Therefore, of course, Rob Blake's coming in as the GM, and Daryl Sutter's not his guy, so he fires him.
Right.
I don't think that Stan Bowman is getting fired in Chicago, and I don't think that he's going to fire Joel Quinville. I think that those two are pretty connected, pretty joined at the hip there.
Yeah, but at some
point, if Scotty Bowman came back and coached the Blackhawks?
That would be great. not going to happen, but that would be fantastic. But I mean, Chicago's a little bit different of a market. They demand a little bit more than LA does. So
yes, this is true, but I think that there's enough history to go, look, we literally won the cup 3 years ago. In 2015, we won the cup. So because of the way that the league works, and we've had to get rid of some salaries, and we've had to move around a lot of pieces. Look, they're bringing back Patrick Sharp, trying to like summon his 2010 Patrick Sharp. And
that's
just
not going
to
happen.
It's just not working. And so I think that they're trying to do some things. They're really saddled by that $22 million $21 million between the two Kane and Toews. And I think that Keith's taking a step back. Seabrook is no longer a top two guy. He's maybe a number four defenseman, but not on a Stanley Cup winning team, I don't think. He's maybe dropped into that third pairing. So I think that what you're left with is you're just trying to throw in guys to Band-Aid spots until some of their younger guys can kind of come back in, get some experience, and start rolling again, which, I mean, DeBrincat's playing really well. I mean, you've had some guys be surprise hole fillers, I guess you could say, like a Richard Ponick. Or, oh, God, I just realized what I just said.
I'm sorry.
You've had some good replacement players when you've had to get rid of more talented players because they make too much money.
Yeah, well.
And I think we really are seeing – I mean, Saad looked great in the beginning of the year, but I think that we are what we're actually seeing is maybe Panarin's better than Saad.
Well, that's
which
not,
did we
– I don't think anybody's surprised by
that. They're
different
players, but I think that talent-wise, of course, Panarin is better than Saad. But let's see if they can get into the playoffs, are they maybe one of those teams that all they have to do is squeak in and then they can –
Oh, they're definitely a squeak in and make things happen type of team. There's no doubt about that. The pedigree and the experience, I mean, get you there for sure. But to me, if they hover around that bubble wild card spot, Quinville's fine. But the minute they start slipping and hitting the bottom of that division with Colorado and, you know, say Minnesota, then
they won't.
I'm just saying, if they do,
they're not going to go below Colorado.
I know that, but I'm saying if they get down there, don't be shocked to see Quinville go.
I
know you disagree with
me.
I will
vehemently disagree. It would take a complete and utter disaster, and it would take Taves and Kane saying, "We now hate this guy, and he's the worst, and we won't play for him, so fire him or trade us." I think that's what you'd need to happen to fire Joel Quinville.
Interesting theory. All right.
San Jose has been much better.
I'm glad too.
We saw this struggling team early on, and they couldn't score. And I mean, they still can't really score, but they're putting it all together, I guess you could say, where they're managing to at least outscore teams. Thornton looks a little bit better. They're getting healthy again. As Brent Burns still hasn't scored, has he?
I don't know. I was just about to look that up because I'm curious. Nope. Seven assists, no goals.
Still hasn't scored. But I think that San Jose, again, they're one of those teams where all they need to do is squeak in, and they might be a difficult first round out. You know, there's some like, do you really want to get Chicago in the first round? Only if you're Nashville. Nashville would be like, sure.
Oh, they would eat that up.
We'll love it.
I think Nashville might actually do them more dirty than they did last year.
Well, Nashville's been really interesting. They have won four in a row. They started 5-5-2 and now winning four in a row, it certainly has changed the conversation with their team. They looked very mediocre at the start, but
Kyle Turris trade,
they figured it out. Kyle Turris trade has been big for them, but a minus one in the goal differential is it's kind of weird, but it doesn't really matter that much.
Scoring goals, so they'll fix that now that Turris is in there. And
yeah, but remember what I said. I said that the teams that score a lot of goals, I don't really have much worry about them. The teams that aren't scoring goals and they're happen to be winning some games.
Well, let's wait and see what happens with Cal Turris.
They did
now.
Score five against Pittsburgh, yep. But everyone's been scoring five against Pittsburgh. Man. Or eight or ten. You know. Who's gonna put up a 12 spot on Pittsburgh this year?
Oh my goodness.
The Wouldn't Lightning
be something. That could happen.
The Lightning put up a 12 or maybe the Leafs.
Toronto, yeah. There's a couple teams that could do it for sure. For sure. Yeah, but San Jose, they're starting to get some secondary scoring, which was the issue at the beginning of the season. You know, Mr. Hurdle and company
Mr.
down there.
Hurdle.
Yeah, company on the third and fourth line just couldn't do anything. And now they're finding their scoring ways. And they got this guy, his name is Heed. I don't know where he came out of, but
Timmy Heed.
My goodness, he's got a blast.
Yeah, I think I remember he scored against the Leafs, and I was like, "Who is this?" It looked like Brent Burns shooting, but it was Tim Heat. Buffalo or Arizona? Who's worse?
Who's worse
right now?
Right now, actually, ooh, that's actually a good question.
Hey,
I mean, at the moment, I might actually think Buffalo's worse, as much as I hate to say it.
Huh?
Yeah. They don't look like they have any vigor, energy, or just like they know they're terrible, and that's just how they're playing.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's strange when you look at – you've got Eichel and Riley, okay?
Those yeah, that's two an guys, anomaly right
Those two
there.
Guys tend to – at least seemingly, they should be driving their line. So then what's going on with the rest of that team? Yeah, the Sabres, they're one of those teams, I think, that everybody is like, okay, we wouldn't mind if the Sabres kind of turn this around and were decent. Like it's been a while since the Sabres were good. Like, we're talking Ryan Miller days. Like
Danny Briere.
In 2008? Oh, no, I'm sorry, 2007, when the Senators went to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Anaheim Ducks, the Sabres actually lost to the Senators, I think, in Game 7 of that Eastern Conference Final.
Okay.
And that was kind of their pinnacle with Ryan Miller on the Sabres.
Yeah.
And it's really, that's the last time I really remember them being very good.
Yeah, Kyle Okposo is doing nothing for them right now. Ryan O'Reilly, minus 13. He's at least putting up some points. And Evander Kane actually looks like he wants to get paid. He is the only bright spot, in my opinion, on that team right now.
When you're losing a lot of the times, sometimes it's easy to score those. I'd be curious to see how many of his goals have been scored when they're losing.
That's a good question.
No, they've only won 5 times, so I'm sure it's quite a few of them. But.
Right. Yeah, he's a guy, I think, too. That's another trade. He's the next big trade piece, I think, to go at this point. He or maybe, I don't know. No, I was thinking JVR, but I don't think you move him quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's hot.
Yeah,
and there are some teams that are looking for a lot of help. The Leafs, I have heard the Leafs and the Rangers connected, because the Rangers need offense and the Leafs need defense, and they kind of would be good trading partners.
But who do you take from?
Yeah,
New York's defense.
It's not Mark Stahl.
No, you definitely don't touch him. And do you maybe take Brendan Smith and his new contract?
I don't know if Brendan Smith. I mean, Babcock maybe likes him. I don't know.
Yeah, there's familiarity.
Did he like
there
him
for sure?
I remember he used
he liked him,
but yeah. I don't know how
he
much
liked him well enough.
Certainly, if they made that trade, it would be for that reason that he likes him.
So. And Brady
they're not trading Brady Shea. Yeah.
They're not touching that kid.
And Ryan McDonough is not going anywhere either. It's not. They're gonna rebuild on the fly here.
Yeah, I don't think New York's the type of marketplace where they're not standing for a rebuild. The fans won't let it happen.
I mean,
and the owners.
See, I don't think you can ever say that since the Leafs went full rebuild mode. And Toronto is the most picky out of any team in the league.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
There's no team in the league that. Fans are then, and I remember hearing that for years. No, Leafs fans won't stand for a rebuild. And I was like, I'd be fine with it. Like, give me 2 years of 3 years of suffering.
Well, when you're that bad for so long, I mean, what, 10 years without making the playoffs?
No, so, you made the playoffs one time.
Okay, sorry.
Just once.
Well, I mean, still, you go that long. Just
when the Leafs were up 4-1 against the Bruins towards the end of the game, I was like, this can't happen again.
Oh.
And they didn't. It was okay. They didn't even allow a goal. But that's because James Reimer's in Florida now.
Speaking of Florida, can we talk about Niemi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's gone back to his team, right? The waiver wire?
Yep. It's third time in this season he's been on the waivers.
That's incredible. His third time?
Well, I mean, if you count the one time he got put on waivers, get bought out in Pittsburgh to start the season. But, you know.
Yeah, so is he going to get scooped up?
I'm sorry, Dallas, not Pittsburgh.
Is he going to get scooped up now?
Nope.
No, you don't think anybody will touch him?
Nope.
He's going right down to
absolutely
to the minors?
Yep.
Yeah, he's horrific. He's just not a good goalie. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, that's a horrible way to end your career.
You always feel bad for a guy who just can't play anymore. Especially, and you know what? Is it more apparent in any other position than goaltending? Like, if you're a forward and you're struggling, you kind of get buried on the fourth line, and then, you know, it maybe takes 18, 20, 30 games before, okay, hey, we're gonna, like, then you're a healthy scratch.
Right.
And then usually, like, at the end of the season, they might send you down, but it's a lot easier to stay up with the team if you're an established player because you maybe bring some things to the table. But as a goalie, your team's only carrying two goalies.
Right.
So if you're bad,
unless you're the New York Islanders, and
when every time you play, you get shelled, it's you're like, well, I mean, we can't very well keep this guy.
No.
And everybody just know. Like, I do feel bad for him, but people have been saying that he's not good for 4 years now. Three, 4 years.
Yeah. And forwards and defensemen, you can sometimes make the argument that, oh, you know, he's just not paired up with the right guy on the back end. You know, maybe he needs somebody a little bit more, you know, a stay-at-home guy. Or maybe, like, as a forward, you're just, oh, he just doesn't have the speedy winger he needs and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, you can make arguments to keep forwards around and defensemen around a little bit longer. But, like you said, defensemen, you start giving up 7 goals a game. Like, there's no hope for you at all. And I will say this for him. He still has a shot to maybe make something of himself at the AHL. Maybe if he can have a mediocre to a decent season, you know, for the rest of the way out, then maybe he gets on, you know, a third or a team that maybe needs some goaltending depth.
I would say at this point, you say he's played 5 games this year.
Yeah.
He started 3. He's 0-3 or 0-4. He got a 4th loss. He has a goals against average of 6.74. Throwback to like the 75 Capitals, and then a save percentage of .822.
Yeah, it's bad, but what I'm saying is
his career numbers are fantastic. .227, .129, and .51.
Ooh.
With a .252 goals against average and a .912 save percentage. I mean, he's a very like solid average goalie. Like he's like right in the middle, like right around that like 15th best goalie in the league, which you can certainly do worse. And he was that way for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's 34 years old now. He's just not good, and he just needs to retire.
I mean, I think
he
will retire.
He's only getting paid $1 million this year, I think.
Right.
So.
But, if he's not ready to hang him up, he could go play third, fourth string on some team that needs some AHL goaltending depth, maybe, and salvage a career, get a call-up or something.
Maybe get scoop traded or something like that.
But I'll be honest, it's, like you said, I think he's retiring after this season, so...
Philadelphia Flyers, they're a very interesting team.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of them.
They've been very middling for most of the year. They haven't really gone on really long streaks of wins or losses. They've just kind of hovered. They're almost even in goals for and goals against. And they were a team that for a lot of people, they were kind of that favorite to sneak in and be a wild card because their defense was so good. What do you think about the way that they've played thus far?
Well,
obviously Giroux moving to the wing and all that was touted as being this huge deal, and it kind of worked early on.
I think it's still working.
Yeah, it's still working. Yeah, sure, it's still working, but is it having the same – is it allowing them to win more games than the year before?
Well,
really having an effect on the score?
Mm,
he's
yes and
scoring
no.
more,
right.
But is the rest of the team improved?
Here's the thing. Yeah, yes and no. One, that top line, still playing good, and I think they'll continue to play well throughout the rest of the year. The problem with Philadelphia is, to me, they just aren't getting enough secondary scoring. Guys like, you know,
like
Simmons,
Matt Reed,
for example.
Or,
yeah, Simmons, he's got 11 points through 17 games. That's good, but after that, it pretty much drops off. Filppula, 9 points through 17. Konecki, 7 points through 17. Wheel, 6 points through 15 games. Those are your next leading scores. And to me, that's not good enough. If you want to be a serious or even a mediocre playoff contender at this point, you need a little bit more secondary scoring.
Yeah, is it that because they have so many young players, I think there's a chance that come maybe February, March, that either we see one of two things, that this team drops off because they do have a lot of younger guys, and those younger guys just kind of burn out because it is a long season. Or we see that burnout in like January-ish. They really struggle, and then maybe towards the end of the year they kind of go on a rise because there's no pressure anymore. Or do we see them improve slowly throughout the year because they're young again, and then they kind of find their stride and kind of hit that, going right into the playoffs and find a way to sneak in?
to me, I think this team is a roller coaster. They're just going to be up and down all year long. Little hot streak, cold streak, hot streak, cold streak. They just, and they'll be within a few wins of a wild card spot, I think. They'll challenge at some point. I think they'll get close. They might get in, then they're back out. But to me, in the end, they miss it by a few wins, and they're sitting right up there at number 10, 11.
All right.
So what do you think, by the way?
I think that they'll be outside the playoff picture.
Fair enough.
To me, yeah. Anything you want to say about the Hall of Fame players? Timo Solani, Paul Kariya, Dave Andrychuk.
I love seeing Kariya go in.
Oh, just, yeah.
I've loved that guy, and the way he ended his career was just tragic to me because he was just such a likable player.
Yep.
So seeing him and Solani together again, too, is just always great.
Yeah, so fun. So, yeah. And Solani was – so apparently – so they played in like a Hall of Fame game, an alumni game, and Kariya has literally not skated since his last NHL game in 2010.
Really?
And Kariya was – or Solani is like, are you freaking kidding me? Look at him skating out there. He hasn't skated in 7 years, and he's a better skater than all of us. He's like, he could go play right now.
Really? Wow.
It's funny to me when you hear about players who are like, yeah, I haven't played in like 20 years. Like, what? You were so good.
I know.
But they get burned out from it, I guess. But
yeah. Huh. But, I really fast, too, before we close it out. Outside of Marty Brodeur, do you have anybody, that you are hoping for next year's Hall of Fame class that potentially could get in? Guys maybe you're looking at that you're like, oh, hey, I'd like to see this guy get in. Because for me, I just like this guy too much. Jeremy Roenick, would love to see him get in. Daniel Alfredson and Marty St. Louis, they're going to have their shot. I think one of those two guys definitely gets in. But anybody you like that maybe sitting on the outside of those, those three, four guys that could maybe get in for you? Maybe a Chris Osgood?
See, I don't think that Chris Osgood ever ends up in the Hall of Fame. I think he's going to be pinned as, well, he was the guy who happened to be there for the ride.
Okay, fair enough.
And when he went elsewhere, he wasn't very good.
No, he was.
And then he came back and he was good again.
Yeah.
So,
he
did very much change his style when he came back to the
right. And he carried that 2008 team a lot too, but
it's not that I don't like Chris Osgood. I just don't think that he should be hailed alongside Martin Brodeur, Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek, Jacques Plante.
Interesting.
Like, he doesn't belong with those guys. He belongs with the next tier of players that are very good, but I think that he's more a result of fortunate circumstances than anything. Mm-hmm. Is there any players that I think should get in that aren't? I would love to see I think that probably I'm looking at a list right now. I think probably the most likely to get in on a list like this is going to be like a Daniel Alfredson, Martin St. Louis. St. Louis will be in.
Oh, yeah.
St. Louis is one of the coolest stories, and a guy who was undrafted and comes in. I mean, he's the oldest player to ever lead the league in scoring.
Yep.
Granted, it was in a lockout year, but that's not his fault. I think that he'll definitely be in. And you talk to Stamkos, you talk to LeCavalier, two guys that, Stamkos, assuming that he continues on his path, he could be a Hall of Famer.
All right.
But you look at the way that those two guys talk about him, and he basically made both their careers. Stamkos early on, he scored 60 because he played with St. Louis, not St. Louis.
Yeah, that one was.
Now, they
was
both helped
season.
Each other, but that was. And then LeCavalier, I think, was helped significantly. I don't know if you remember watching that Richard LeCavalier and St. Louis on the power play together, and
yeah.
Richards would man the point on the power play.
What was it? It was like 20. No, I can't remember the amount of games it was, but every time Brad Richards scored a goal, they won.
Yeah,
it was insane.
Yeah, that was going for a long time. I think so, but yeah, I think St. Louis gets in, but also Daniel Alfredson. I don't think the Senators have any Hall of Famers. Actually,
no,
I'm certain they don't. They have none. I mean, they've only been around since 1991. So,
unless you count the
okay, if we go back, go back to the 20s, the teens in the 20s, the 1900s, yes, but this current form of the Ottawa Senators, this organization, they don't have any Hall of Famers. So, I would say that Chara will be in the Hall of Fame, possibly.
I guess you could count him as a senator.
And he was a senator. He started his career there. But Alfredson would be the one, like a lifer, essentially. he had his swan song with the Wings, but
yeah. And then you'll get Erik Karlsson eventually too, but
yeah, so. that's a thing that will happen. Well, I think that about wraps us up.
Yeah, we got a hockey.
Hockey game right now, so we're gonna run to that, and we will be back on recording on Thursday. So we'll talk to you on Friday. But enjoy the games. We didn't actually get to the games that we're hoping to watch this week.
Watch them all.
Well, just watch every single one.
Yes. That's the simplest solution.
You know what I do? I really like, because I don't even necessarily watch hockey every single night, or like whole games. I'll watch little bits of games, but I always try to go and watch the highlight reel.
Yeah.
And the best part is that it's basically what you see on NHL Network. They just have it up on. Yeah.
I watch those all the time.
And those are great.
Yeah.
Those give you a good recap. You get to see all the things you need to see, and you kind of get a good base of what happened in the game. So, but anyways, we will talk to you soon. Have a agreeable night.